Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Amy Lee McCree. She's an author, and she's written a lot of different health books. We'd been talking about the mood book with crystals, oils, and rituals to elevate the spirit. Are you using that in practices, in teaching?
Yes. I have lots of medical intuitive clients, and so these things do come up. And I also teach classes on how to meet your spirit guides. I teach shamanism classes. I teach meditation, so mindfulness. So all these things come up in different ways. Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of crossing back and forth. One of the books that you wrote just a year or two ago, I think, was the Apple Cider Vinegar Handbook, which is really just, it has so many great ways that you can use it. Can you talk about a little bit about the wonderful ways that apple cider can change your life?
Absolutely. Apple cider vinegar is an amazing health remedy. And you know, part of that is because of the way it's fermented, and you always want to look for apple cider vinegar with a mother, which means it's generally unpasteurized. And so it has a lot of really, really key prebiotics, which are the fuel for the good flora or the probiotics in your body. And that's where a lot of the goodness of apple cider vinegar starts. But then it continues because it is tremendously helpful in correctly balancing your body's pH, whether you're too acidic, which is like the typical Western diet of lots of dairy and meat, or occasionally even a little bit too alkaline. I know I was vegan for many years. I'm not anymore, but I actually tended to be a little bit too alkaline in that process. So apple cider vinegar helps us in both directions. And then it's also really helpful besides having antioxidant and cancer preventative properties. It's incredibly helpful with balancing blood sugar and dealing with insulin resistance, and it lowers cholesterol, which is clinically proven to lower LDL cholesterol. So it's just kind of a major powerhouse nutritionally.
Fantastic. Can you tell me what are some of the ways that you can use apple cider vinegar topically and some ways that you can take it orally?
Absolutely. So orally, you can take it, I recommend half to quarter teaspoon and a minimum of 8 ounces of water. If you take apple cider vinegar orally and you do not dilute it in at least 8 ounces of water, it can wear away the enamel on your teeth.
Good to
know. That being said, yeah, very important. And people, you know, we kind of live in a more is better culture, but with apple cider vinegar, it's not really that. A medium, moderate amount goes plenty of a long way. So you can take it kind of just in water if you're so inclined, and that doesn't taste bad, but in my book, we have like 50-plus recipes, all kinds of beverages you can make. You can put it with ginger and honey and things like that, and just, cranberry antioxidant teas and fizzes and all kinds of delicious things. And then you can also use it quite a bit in food, and so you can use it as a dressing, you know, whether that's a seaweed salad, a apple cider vinegar, fruity salad, so utilizing fruit, kale and avocado salad. You can use quinoa with plums or fruit. You can make a dressing out of it in whatever direction you like. You can use it in like an edamame salad. You can use it in a rice salad. You can use it as a dressing. Then you can also add it to other things, like you could make a hummus or different salsas and dips and guacamoles. And in all of those, you're not heating it, so you're getting a lot of its benefit. And apply it topically. You can use it for first aid, too, which is kind of neat. And you can also use it as a really nice hair rinse, so you can dilute it and use it to make your hair more shiny. So it has some beauty things, too, and you can use it for dandruff. You can use it for mites. You can use it for wounds. You can use it... Gosh, all kinds of ways.
Fantastic. There's just so many ways that you can use apple cider vinegar. And also with even going back to moods, being having your acid alkaline balance is very important to your moods. And also the you've talked about in all these essential oils in your mood book. What foods would help with mood? I don't think you went there with your book, but how can you help stabilize moods with food?
It's a great question. So some really great mood stabilizers actually are chickpeas and sweet potatoes. They are serotonin boosting foods. They're slow release, low glycemic carbs, and they actually give your body the ability to produce more serotonin. And it is especially helpful in people who have an overactive anterior cingulate gyrate, which is also known as the ACV, which is in the center of the brain, kind of near the hypothalamus. And when you meet somebody who has an overactive ACV, we have a lot of acronyms there. Somebody who has an overactive ACG, that's kind of like for example, the child who always wants to say no. Like, do you want to get your PJs on? No. They don't want to do anything. They always say no. And sometimes you encounter people in life like that. Those are people who actually have a low-grade, low serotonin issue. So it's making their anterior cingulate gyrate overactive. So that's a situation where eating garbanzo beans and sweet potatoes regularly would actually potentially alleviate that problem.
That'll turn it into a yes?
It might.
Sounds good. Lots of, going to be lots of sweet potatoes and chickpeas going on in our house.
Exactly.
Yeah. So with all the books that you've written, what's your favorite?
Oh, my goodness. That's a great question. One of my favorites is actually The Compassion Revolution. That's one we didn't talk about. But I really love that book. Its subtitle is 30 Days of Living from the Heart. So it takes you through kind of a chapter a day, page a day, kind of a short chapter book. And it takes you through 15 ways to show yourself compassion and 15 ways to share compassion. And all my books are kind of my love letters to my clients and my readers anyways. But I think that's my favorite.
That's fantastic. And love letters to yourself, of course.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
And all this has been leading up to the Divine Feminine work coming soon.
Yeah, it's coming in the fall, which is really exciting. Yes, exactly.
And it's very timely. Can you tell us a little bit more about writing The Divine Feminine and your inspiration?
Sure. As a medical intuitive, it's my job to some degree to talk to people's spirit guides. And so talking with spirit guides and the Divine Feminine in the form of even goddesses is not a new thing for me. Like I said, I've been doing it for 18 years. So when I get to write this book, Little Bit of Goddess, which talks about the history of the Divine Feminine and its evolution and things like that, but also some of my personal experiences and actual goddesses and how they can, you know, that those archetypes can help our readers, it's really personal to me because these goddesses are kind of like my spirit friends in a abstract manner. So it's special to me to get to share that.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about your favorite goddesses?
Oh my goodness. Good questions. I have so many. I'm half Greek. So I like to kind of connect a lot with Athena and Artemis, kind of those independent spirited Greek goddesses, and Aphrodite for kind of that help with connecting with the inner divine feminine. But then I also really like a lot of I don't know if you've heard about the mythology over the years of the evolution of the goddess Astarte, Inanna, Ishtar, Isis. These are all goddesses that were identified with the evening star or Venus. And so a lot of those goddesses are I feel very close to them or connected to them. And then I also have roots, like ancestral roots in the UK. So I'm really fond of a lot of different Celtic goddesses as well. The goddess Danu is really a wonderful nature goddess. The goddess Rhiannon helps a lot with intuition. The goddess Brigitte is kind of like the independent spirit that Athena and Artemis bring, but in the Celtic form. Get me started and I'll go for a long time. I can tell.
Tell me if you have a favorite ritual to keep you close to any one of those beautiful goddesses.
I really like to take various forms of goddess baths. So you can do that if you buy yourself organic flowers, roses or whatever else you like. Roses are a safe bet because we know that they're completely non-toxic, and they're actually good for teas and lots of health ailments as well. So if you buy yourself 100% organic roses, keep them in your environment for a while to enjoy them, and then as they just get to that point where they're about to turn, but they're still good, pull all the petals off, and the seeds that you know would be in the center can come off too, and place those in a bath, and you can put in essential oils, I mean, rose essential oil, jasmine essential oil. You can put some rose quartz in there too. And for me, that's a really nice goddess bath and a nice way to connect with the softer side of the divine feminine.
That's beautiful. So we'll be looking forward to that book coming out in September, October.
I think it's going to be November. It might be October, but I think it will be November. We don't have the pub date yet, but we should have it soon. But I'm thinking it's going to be probably early November is my guess.
Fantastic. How long ago did you decide to write this book on moods?
On moods? I decided the mood book probably, a year or two ago, because as you know, the publication process takes a little while. So, you know, we have to talk about it and get the publisher on board and then kind of start that process and then write the manuscript and edit it and things like that. So probably up to 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half to 2 years ago.
So it was quite a bit from first thought to process to getting it onto the shelves.
Yes, and actually in that case, too, I had done a proposal for something similar that had kind of evolved and evoked the idea for the mood book. So it's the behind the scenes of publishing.
Yeah, and so this is book number 11 coming up?
Yes, mood book is book 10, so Little Bit of Goddess is book 11, yes.
That's fantastic. Can you tell people where they can find more information about you and how to find your classes and your books and all the things that you're doing out there to help heal the world?
Absolutely. They can find me on my website, amyleemercrigh.com, AmyLeeighMercrigh.com. And then they can also find me on social media at the same handle, at Amy Lee Mercury. I'm very active on Instagram. That's a good place to connect with me. And to find my classes and all my books and everything, my website is the place. And we're doing a sort of a makeover on the website. So in the next couple months, it's going to get even more fancy so everybody can check that out too.
Good. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Amy. And thank you for all the books you've written and all the work you do to share with the world.
Thank you so much for sharing all this wonderful knowledge with your listeners. Thanks for having me.
Okay, you're welcome. We're going to go to a quick break when we come back with the second half.